Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Total Energy Services, Inc. third quarter 2018 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star zero. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Daniel Halyk. Please go ahead, Mr. Halyk.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Total Energy Services' third quarter 2018 conference call. Present with me this morning is Yuliya Gorbach, Total's VP Finance and CFO. We will review with you Total's financial and operating highlights for the 3 months ended September 30th, 2018, and then provide an outlook for our business and open up the phone lines for any questions. Yuliya, please proceed.
Thank you, Dan. During the course of this conference call, information may be provided containing forward-looking information concerning Total's projected operating results, anticipated capital expenditure trends, and projected drilling activity in the oil and gas industry. Actual events or results may differ materially from those reflected in Total's forward-looking statements due to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors affecting Total's businesses and the oil and gas service industry in general. These risks, uncertainties, and other factors are described under the heading Risk Factors and elsewhere in Total's most recently filed annual information form and other documents filed with Canadian provincial securities authorities that are available to the public at www.sedar.com. Our discussions during this conference call are qualified with reference to the notes to the financial highlights contained in the news release issued yesterday. Unless otherwise indicated, all financial information in this conference call is presented in Canadian dollars. Total Energy's financial results for the 3 months ended September 30, 2018, continued to improve significantly compared to 2017. Recovering industry conditions in the United States and Australia, as well as the realization of meaningful cost savings from the integration of Savannah Energy Services, increasing production levels at our Weirton, West Virginia compression facility, and declining unprofitable work contributed to such improved results. Consolidated revenues for the third quarter of 2018 were $232.9 million as compared to $185.2 million in the third quarter of 2017. Geographically, 54% of third quarter revenue was generated in Canada, 30% in the United States, and 17% in Australia as compared to 50% in Canada, 32% in the United States, and 19% in Australia during the third quarter of 2017. By business segment, compression process services contributed 49% of 2018 third quarter consolidated revenues, contract drilling services 25%, well servicing 18%, and rentals and transportation services 8%. Third quarter revenue for the contract drilling services segment was $57.7 million or $20,341 per spot to release operating day. Excluding Canadian subsistence revenues that essentially flow through to employees on which no margin is earned, revenue per spot to release day for the third quarter was $18,941, a 2% increase from Q3 2017. Segment EBITDA was $10.9 million on 19% of revenue in the third quarter of 2018, as compared to EBITDA of $7.6 million or 13% of revenue in the third quarter of 2017. Contract drilling services segment recorded 2,836 operating days or 27% utilization during the third quarter of 2018, as compared to 3,153 days or 29% utilization in the third quarter of 2017. Despite lower activity, the contract drilling segment generated $2 million of operating income in Q3 2018, compared to $3.3 million operating loss in Q3 2017. This improvement was a result of realized operating synergies arising from successful integration of Savannah, improved discipline in declining unprofitable work, and ongoing cost management. Drilling activity during the third quarter of 2018 was lower as compared to the third quarter of 2017 due to lower North American drilling activity as a result of our strategy to decline unprofitable work. Partially offsetting reduced operating days in North America was 58% year-over-year increase in third quarter operating days in Australia. The revenue and utilization reported from our rentals and transportation segment for the third quarter of 2018 was consistent with revenue and utilization for the comparable period in 2017. Segment EBITDA for the third quarter of 2018 was $3.5 million, or 18% of revenue, as compared to EBITDA of $5.7 million, or 29% of revenue, in the third quarter of 2017. Contributing to decreased segment EBITDA were stagnant Canadian industry conditions that prevented price increases necessary to offset increased operating costs arising directly from regulatory changes in Alberta, particularly the cost of labor, fuel, and utilities. Also negatively impacting Q3 segment EBITDA compared to 2017 was approximately $0.2 million of costs associated with the disposal of excess equipment. Offsetting decreases in Canada was an increase both in size and utilization of our United States equipment fleet. More specifically, compared to the third quarter of 2017, utilization in the United States increased 42% and revenue per utilized piece increased by 10%. Additionally, the rental fleet increased by 100 pieces or 20% to 600 pieces in September, by September 30, 2018 compared to September 30, 2017. With the relocation of underutilized equipment from Canada and targeted new equipment additions. The utilization of rental equipment in Canada during the third quarter of 2018 was 4% lower as compared with the third quarter of 2017. On the rental fleet, they decreased by 800 pieces or 7%. Revenue per utilized piece of equipment in Canada increased 2% as compared to third quarter of 2017. This was primarily due to change in the mix of equipment operating during the quarter. Within our compression process services segment, third quarter revenue for 2018 increased 70% compared to the same period in 2017. Such increase was due primarily to higher sales activity in all markets, particularly the United States. This segment exited the third quarter of 2018 with a record fabrication sales backlog of $236.7 million as compared to $160.7 million at September 30, 2017 and $216.9 million at June 30, 2018. Utilization of compression rental fleet continues to recover during the third quarter with approximately 31,500 horsepower on rent at September 30, 2018. This compares to 20,200 horsepower on rent at September 30, 2017 and 24,800 horsepower on rent at June 30, 2018. Segment EBITDA increased 53% to $13.5 million or 12% of revenue for the third quarter of 2018 compared to $8.9 million or 13% of revenue in Q3 2017. Negatively impacting EBITDA margins on a year-over-year basis were costs associated with continued ramp-up of production at our Weirton, West Virginia plant and costs associated with securing additional fabrication space in Canada from which there was no production activity in Q3 2018. Third quarter revenue for our well servicing segment was $41 million, and EBITDA was $11.6 million, or 28% of revenue, as compared to revenue of $39.3 million and EBITDA of $8.8 million, or 23% of revenue, during the third quarter of 2017. Total service hours for the third quarter were 44,447, of which 47% were in Canada, 43% in Australia, and 10% in the United States. This compares to 41,256 service hours during the third quarter of 2017, of which 44% were in Canada, 41% in Australia, and 15% in the United States. Consolidated gross margin for the third quarter of 2018 was $48.2 million, or 21% of revenue, as compared to $40.8 million, or 22% of revenue, in the third quarter of 2017. The marginal decrease in margin percentage was due primarily to higher relative contribution of CPS segment to consolidated revenue. Consolidated cash flow before changes in non-cash working capital items was $34.8 million for the third quarter of 2018, as compared to $30 million in the third quarter of 2017. This increase was primarily due to increased activity levels in both the compression and process services segment and Savanna Australia's operations, as well as improved EBITDA margins in contract drilling and well servicing segments. Consolidated EBITDA for the third quarter of 2018 was $34.6 million, a 27% increase compared to the third quarter of 2017. Total Energy achieved profitability for the fifth consecutive quarter, generating third quarter net income attributable to shareholders of $8.9 million, or 19 cents per share on a diluted basis. Total Energy's financial condition remains strong, with $117.6 million of positive working capital, including $27.9 million of cash and marketable securities at September 30, 2018. After paying $8.2 million of dividends and repurchasing $2.7 million of common shares during the first 9 months of this year, since the end of 2017, shareholders' equity has increased by $2.7 million as a result of our return to sustained profitability. Total debt was $295.6 million at September 30, 2018, a $32.1 million reduction from December 31, 2017. In addition to regular monthly principal repayments and $59.3 million of mortgage debt, during the first 9 months of 2018, Total Energy repaid $28.7 million of debt assumed with acquisition of Savanna. At September 30, 2018, $236 million was drawn on $295 million of available revolving bank credit facilities. Our bank covenants consist of maximum senior debt to trailing 12 months bank-defined EBITDA of 3 times and a minimum bank-defined EBITDA to interest expense of 3 times. At September 30, 2018, the company's senior bank debt to bank EBITDA ratio was 2.02, and the bank interest coverage ratio was 8.08 times.
Thank you, Yulia. We are pleased with our third quarter results as they continue to illustrate our ability to generate improved financial results from the Savanna asset base and the steady and profitable growth of our international business operations. Providing a tailwind for our third quarter results were a continued industry recovery in the United States and Australia and strong domestic and international demand for compression and process equipment. cost synergies and economies of scale arising from the successful integration of Savannah, as well as improved discipline in declining unprofitable work, offset continued challenging industry conditions in Canada. While the recent decision of LNG Canada to proceed with construction of a liquefied natural gas terminal on Canada's west coast was a positive development for the Canadian energy industry, it is not expected to have an immediate impact on Canadian natural gas prices. As such, Canadian oil and gas producers continue to suffer substantial price discounts relative to global benchmark prices due to a lack of energy transportation infrastructure. The current regulatory environment in Canada makes the advancement of energy infrastructure projects challenging, and the anticipated federal passage of Bill C-69 is widely expected to further exacerbate the challenges facing proponents of such projects. Compounding the challenges facing the Canadian energy industry, particularly in Alberta, are recent regulatory and tax changes that have contributed to higher labor, fuel, utilities, and other operating costs at a time when market conditions prevent service providers from increasing prices to the extent necessary to recover such increased costs. Given the poor energy investment climate in Canada, substantially all of our $30 million of growth capital expenditures for 2018 have been directed to expanding our international presence, particularly in the United States. Further, it has become necessary to adjust the rental and transportation segment's fixed cost structure to the reality of current industry conditions in Canada, and to achieve additional efficiencies following the acquisition and integration of Savannah's oil field rental operations. Specifically, we have determined to close 5 RTS branch locations in Canada by the end of 2018. We will also continue to relocate equipment to the United States where opportunities to immediately put such equipment to work exist. Finally, we are pursuing opportunities to dispose of surplus idle equipment and thereby right-size our rental and trucking fleet for expected future activity levels. As such, while this rationalization will reduce our geographic footprint in Canada, particularly in northern Alberta, it is not expected to have a negative impact on segment revenue, but will have a meaningful impact on reducing fixed costs. We are working hard to achieve profitability in all business segments and in all geographies, and I believe this is a very achievable goal should industry conditions remain relatively stable. I would now like to open up the phone lines for any questions.
Certainly. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star 1 on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our first question comes from Dane Belouk with CIBC World Markets. Please go ahead.
Morning, all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In Canada, are you fairly agnostic when it comes to drilling market share in order to pursue economic rates of return?
Yes.
Or is there a base level of activity that you would be looking to keep and maintain crews or rigs and whatnot?
Yeah, I think we're pretty comfortable with our current position in the market. I look at our results in the context of the industry and believe that we can compete with anyone out there in terms of price. But, as we've done consistently, in a difficult market, we're not going to work when it doesn't make sense. So I believe the current industry conditions will allow us to maintain a reasonable market share and thereby keep sufficient activity, keep crews in that busy. And so, we continue to work to get our cost structure down, but our Canadian drilling segment is profitable pre-tax and after tax, and I'm not sure there's many that can say that, and such we're prepared to compete in whatever market conditions.
Understood. Can you share what regions you elected to close the RTS branches, and would the bulk of that equipment be moving to the U.S., or would a good portion of that be staying in the WCSB?
First of all, I'm not going to get into exact specifics there. You know, we did a pretty detailed analysis following the acquisition of Savannah. We did pick up some branches with Savannah, and so part of this is driven by, you know, our assessment over the past year of what we can do to get more efficient. But a large part of it's based on our assessment of where activity is going to be in the next 5 years in Western Canada. And as such, you know, I'm not going to share particulars for obvious reasons, but, you know, we'll continue to service all areas of the basin. It'll just be from a smaller footprint. And unfortunately, to the extent that, you know, it's in areas where we have closed operations, the trucking bill will be higher if someone wants to move assets. But we spent a lot of time very closely analyzing historical and budgeted activity levels from our customer base and others. And so these are very targeted closures. And in terms of equipment, we are looking to continue and embedded within our costs, and we don't break these out specifically. We did comment on $200,000 of costs, largely on disposal of equipment. But we're incurring expenses daily to relocate equipment. That's all embedded in our cost structure. We're not carving that out. That's going to the U.S. That will continue, likely accelerate given the what we're seeing in the United States. And we're also going to look to dispose of, in a rational and controlled manner, surplus equipment where there's opportunities to do so at fair prices. And typically, we're seeing, you know, that equipment leave the country and being applied into other industries. So, you know, all in all, we've held on for 4 years. I think the trigger for us was the Trans Mountain decision and the fallout on that. And so, you know, we're taking some pretty significant steps. Again, you know, the equipment we're going to that's going to leave Canada and leave our Canadian fleet will either go to the U.S. and generate revenue or be disposed of. And so we don't see any impact on revenues here.
I guess currently on the same line of thought, for the incremental compression horsepower you added to your rental fleet so far this year, has most of that been in the U.S.? And are you at a point where you'd look to move some of your Canadian horsepower to the U.S. as well?
Definitely both sides of the border have been strong. We have been relocating compression horsepower into the U.S. But Canada, we've seen a fairly good pickup too. So I think this is part of the, I would call it the infrastructure build that's happening on a regional basis. You know, we're seeing that benefit, you know, our compression process services both on the fabrication and the rental side.
Okay, and then just a last one for me. When thinking about share buybacks versus incremental dividend increases, how are you weighing the two options, and do you have a preference for one or the other at this stage?
I think you've seen us step up our buybacks, and given where we're at relative to, you know, we look at buybacks like we do any capital expenditure, but I can tell you that they're looking more and more attractive every day, And so I would think that's probably an area that we'll continue to focus some capital.
Yeah, appreciate the color. I'll turn it back. Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from John Bereznicki with Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Hello, morning, everyone.
Good morning, John.
Hello.
Hey, just in thinking about the fabrication expansion in Canada, you know, how much of that's being driven by what you're seeing internationally, and you know, how much of that is maybe a precursor to what may come here on the LNG front in Canada?
Both, and it's not just the LNG. There's a current infrastructure bill in Canada that's probably not fully appreciated, but this expansion is necessary to address current activity levels, both in Canada and internationally.
Got it. And, you know, if you look at, you know, what this capacity will look like, I guess, in a few quarters from now versus, you know, your U.S. capacity, I mean, how would the two compare in terms of cost structure when you're bidding on international work?
You know, depending on where you're shipping from, you know, what we're seeing is generally the cost to operate is lower in the U.S. It's just a whole different ball game there. The flip side is we've got an extremely highly skilled and efficient workforce in Western Canada, and also currency, you know, as Canadian dollar continues to weaken, you know, there's obviously some currency advantages there to a certain extent. But, you know, it's a good balanced portfolio here. Certainly, I guess one of the benefits of all the negativity in Canada in our sector is fabrication space on a sublease basis is fairly attractive. And, you know, so we can add some pretty significant incremental production here at very efficient costs. And so, you know, we weighed it and made the call to expand our footprint in Canada based on a number of variables. But it's current Canadian activity is also contributing to that need.
Got it. Good color. And then just shifting back to RTS, it's really striking looking at your numbers, you know, where you're generating a profit on the U.S. and a, you know, a much smaller business. I mean, can you envision a day when, you know, RTS is bigger in the U.S. than it is in Canada right now?
You know, I think the way I look at it, John, is our RTS segment, we built over the course of 22 years, and really it was built to service 650 rigs going in the winter, and we haven't had that for 4 years. You know, like I said, kind of the catalyst for a major review was both obviously the Savannah acquisition. We picked up some branches, as well as the Keystone decision, which, you know, we see is impacting differentials here for a bit on heavier oil. And so, you know, we did a very detailed analysis, and these are very targeted closures. The other thing that's just, you know, it's somewhat frustrating is the cost increases being pushed on business, particularly in Alberta, that you have no control over and you can't pass. And, you know, it's not just, you know, it's things like vacation entitlements, stat holiday pay. Again, on businesses where you have a piece of equipment specifically tied to a project, it's a lot easier to pass that on. But, you know, when you're running, you know, the equipment fleet we are in this segment, you know, if there's a stat holiday and you've got to pay everyone and, you know, it's not tied to a specific customer or project, it's, you just can't recover that. And, you know, and your heating bills are more and your fuel, you know, fuel's a big cost in this division. And, you know, carbon and fuel tax has been going up and up and up, and it just got to the point where, you know, you can't sustain it. So, you know, we're going to right size it. We don't see 650 rigs working in Western Canada anytime soon. You know, you're probably in that 350 range. And so our infrastructure is too large for what's going on, and we're going to right size it. And as well, we're going to rationalize the equipment base. And, you know, you'll see that play out over the next few quarters. You know, we'll update our fleet size. But at the end of the day, we're going to get it lean and mean here. Really, we don't have a revenue problem there. We've got a fixed cost problem, and so we're gonna address that.
Great, makes sense. In terms of drilling, obviously the U.S. Really closed the gap from last year in terms of, you know, minimizing the operating loss. I know it's a goal of yours to get that you know, on the plus side. Any sense of when you might be able to do that, given what you're seeing out there?
You know, I think the color we gave Q2 is we're now going into the next you know, few quarters here where legacy contracts are rolling off, and we're rolling into a better price environment. We've also really been focused on turning down unprofitable work. And so, you know, I was just down in Texas last week. It's busy down there. Interestingly, one of our heavy doubles displaced a triple. What we're hearing down there is the price of triples, of which we have three. One of ours is in the middle of the, we're doing a level four recert. And then it's going back and into better pricing. But what we're hearing, and I've heard this directly from one of our good customers down there, is the triple prices are going up to the point where they're not going to use bazookas to shoot mice anymore. But we're literally with one of our doubles drilling, you know, 18, 20,000 foot total. We're drilling these entire wells that triples have been drilling and doing it and saving significant money for our customers, you know, both on move time day rate, although our day rates are going up. And interestingly, you know, I asked specifically about trip times, and they're not identifying that as a concern. And again, you know, this specific rig that's doing it, we relocated from Canada, and there's appetite for more.
Great. Good to hear. And then just one last one from me, and I'll turn it over. Just generally speaking, what are you seeing in Australia right now?
You know, good, steady market. I think it's supply-demand is pretty balanced. But you know, we've never been more busy in terms of equipment at work, and we expect that to continue. And, again, I think, you know, they came out of a downturn just like North America. It's recovering, and it's a very healthy, balanced market right now. So I think you're going to continue to see good, steady performance there. And, you know, we're going to look at opportunities to continue to grow. But, like I said, we're everything but one service rig and one flush buy unit going there right now, which they've never had that level of activity. And so our goal is to get it all off the fence, but do it in, you know, at prices that make sense, and then look to continue to support that business to logically grow without, you know, creating market imbalance, I guess you would say.
Got it. Okay, that great color. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Daniel Halyk for any closing remarks.
Well, thanks, everyone, for participating in our call, and look forward to speaking to you when we release our year-end results. Have a pleasant weekend.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.